Exodus 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock of the back to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I mean, it's on fire, but it's not being burned up. Bush was on fire, but bush was not consumed. And Moses, in verse number 3, said, I will now turn aside and see this great sign, why the bush is not burnt. It got his attention. And he said, I'm going over there. I'm going to see what's going on here. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, oh my goodness. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And you know, we won't read the rest of the story. He said, draw not nigh hither. He said, put off the shoes, you know, of your feet where you're standing is holy ground. And you know the rest of, you know, generally the story here. God called him because, remember, he had been a prince in Egypt's, in the nation of Egypt. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Remember the bulrushes and Moses in the basket? And Pharaoh's daughter came down, found him, and adopted him. He was a Hebrew, born a Hebrew, but he's raised in the Egyptian palace and so forth, and he talks like an Egyptian, you know, dresses like an Egyptian, you know, he's an Egyptian as far as anybody knew. But when he got old enough, to find out where he was born and so forth. Maybe somehow he found out he was adopted or something. I don't know. He eventually found out he's really a Hebrew, born a Hebrew, just raised as an Egyptian. And the Bible says when he was come of to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Hebrews, by faith. By faith. Oh, my. And so God began to put something in his heart 40 years before this incident about delivering, because Egypt had the Israelis in slavery at the time. Slavery is a demonic thing. But they're holding them in slavery. But it comes into Moses' heart to deliver Israel from that slavery. And he goes about it in the wrong way in the flesh. You remember, he killed an Egyptian and then was discovered, and he had to run for his life because Pharaoh was going to come for his life. So he ran for his life, and he ended up on the backside of the desert, as we say, for 40 years. Moses' life falls into three 40-year periods, you know, up until he slew that Egyptian's 40 years. And then he's on the backside of the desert 40 years, and then he would serve God for 40 years. By delivering Israel and bringing them out, and, you know, the Ten Commandments on the mountain, all that. All meant mighty, mighty, a well-used life, a mightily used life. And one of the stories in the Bible where there's no scandal. You know what I'm talking about? Accusations, but no, they were false. You know. Amen. Praise God. We ought to study the people, there's no scandal. Daniel had no scandal. Amen. But thank God used the people that did have scandals. David was mightily used to God, but he had scandals. Anyway, but here's a beautiful story. And what we find then is that he's taking care of the sheep. His father-in-law, he goes over there, and he ran for his life and ended up over here where he's living. And married a girl over there. And his father-in-law had flocks, and he's taking care of those flocks. And he's out there this day, and this occurrence happened where he saw this burning bush. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
And the bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And it got his attention. I guess he stood there looking at it for a while, however far away it was. And he's like, what is that? What's going on? I mean, and then he said, I like what it says here. He said, he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. He said, I'm gonna see what's going on here. In other words, there's something happening over there beyond the natural. Something supernatural happening. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm interested in the supernatural. I'm interested enough to move to where that supernatural is moving and learn more about this. Something on the inside of this, I mean, on the inside of his heart, was reaching out for the supernatural. Amen. He was interested. He was interested. Say that out loud. He was interested. Amen. I got a question for you tonight. God's a supernatural God. Are you interested? Psalm 103:7 says, God made known his acts to Israel, but he made known his ways to Moses. Now, there's a big difference. The acts of God are the supernatural, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And all through the Bible, God shows himself to be a supernatural God. Amen. But Israel only knew what God did, what the supernatural will do. They observed it, but they were never used in it. They saw it happen. They experienced the benefits of it. They had water out of a rock. They had supernatural deliverance. They had a splitting of a Red Sea. They had manna out of the sky. They had miracle after miracle after miracle. And they knew and were people who experienced the supernatural. They knew God's acts. They saw Moses being used of God. They saw the things of God and the supernatural. But apparently not many of them were, we have record that Joshua was, but apparently not many of them were that interested in going beyond just seeing it happen. In fact, many of them saw it happen and turned away and forgot God, forgot what he did for them, and within a few chapters they're complaining. They're complaining against God and so forth and so on. Am I making any sense tonight? But Moses, according to Psalm 103:7, Moses had interest in going beyond just the surface of seeing it happen, and he said, I want to know more about this. And that's what we see in Exodus chapter number 3. Yeah. We see Moses walking past the supernatural and seeing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. Yes, sir.
I'm going over there to see more about it. Isn't that right? You know how many people I've seen come through this church and they're come through, they're walking by, and the supernatural happens. Sometimes even to them, they get healed. Wow. Haven't seen them since. Not interested. Not interested enough to move towards it. Am I preaching all right? Hallelujah. When God, what this is here, Pastor Nancy was preaching on this, and I'm just gonna tell you all about it, because it stirred me so deep. What this is, when God showed, notice verse number 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Notice, Moses turned aside, and that's when God called. That's when God said something to him. In other words, God saw his interest, and then he spoke to him. Notice, Moses wasn't walking through, you know, following the sheep or leading the sheep, and he heard a voice. Moses, I'm over here, look. God didn't speak to him until he was in. He saw it, but he was interested enough to say, I'm going to check this out. I want to know more about this supernatural. And that's whenever God called. Oh, come on. My question to you is, are you interested enough in the supernatural? Going to church and not ever having a changed life, not ever seeing the power of God knock you in the floor and drive cancer out of your body. Amen. Are you interested enough to move towards that and say, I want to know more about this power? I want to know more of how that works. Amen. So when God starts, when he puts a flame of fire in a city, that's called a church on fire. When he puts a burning bush in a city or a person on fire for God and brings them across somebody's path and they minister the supernatural, now that person, that is not just that person getting a blessing. That is an invitation.
Yes. Yes, sir.
God's saying, I am a supernatural God. Do you want to know more about it? When you pray, when you tell coworkers and they say, man, I've really been hurting, and you say, I'm going to lay hands on you and pray if it's all right with you. And they come back the next day and they go, that left. That's not just God loving on somebody, although, of course, he's loving on people. But he's inviting them. That's an invitation. But listen. Whenever that invitation is given, then what God does is he waits to see who's going to move towards that. Rather than just say, huh, and walk on as if nothing happened. Are you out there? The Bible said his eyes run to and fro through the whole earth. Show himself strong to somebody. He's looking for somebody to show himself. Who can he show himself strong to? People who are interested. He'll do some things just out of mercy to get people's attention. Just like that burning bush. Why didn't the angel call out of that burning bush, or God call out of that burning bush? He just showed him something and to see what he was going to do. He could have just walked on by and said, I've never seen anything like that. And go home and tell his wife, I saw something strange today. And never move toward it to find out what supernatural power that was. Amen. He's looking for somebody that's interested. Interested enough to ask, why? Isn't that what he said? Moses said, I'm going to be, you know, look over here and see why. See this great sight. Why? In other words, I have some questions. I want to know some more about this. Why? Why is that bush not burning? What power is that? Isn't that right? Am I in the right room tonight? What is that? What power is that? How's that work? Amen. Anybody can see it's not burning. But how's that work? How's God do that? Amen. Are you out there?
Yes, sir.
And can I get that to work for me? If it'll do something like that for a bush, what would it do for me? Is it available to me? How do I get it? I want more of it. Even if I got it, I want more of it. Amen. Can I be used in that power flowing through me to bless others? See, when I got back, the Lord's been reminding me of this in the last, I don't know, just the last couple of years. He just, from time to time, just reminds me of the revival in my high school when I was a teenager. And he reminded me again in relation to this story. He said, when you heard in your high school that people were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then one of the people that God was using in that revival came to you and said, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? The Lord said, do you remember how you responded? I said, yeah, I know. I remember exactly how I responded. I said, yeah. And then my head goes, what is it? I said, because they said, do you want to be baptized? I said, yeah. And I said, what is it? In other words, I was interested. If God has an offer for me, I'm interested. Something's wrong with people that aren't interested. Amen. Sometimes people in Cedar Rapids, Eastern Iowa, they don't understand us laughing and getting full of the joy of the Lord. And I've heard stories of people that they want to come, but their husband or wife doesn't want to come. Because I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you something. You ought to be interested enough to go to your Bible and say, is that true? Is that? Okay, well, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Oh, so joy is not from hell. There's no joy in hell tonight. But I don't understand that. Well, you don't have to understand. Moses didn't understand the burning bush, but he moved towards it. See, I want to know more about this. You mean, what happened when you laughed? You got healed? How's that work? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Really? Oh, hey. I'm interested. See, that's the way I got my start. They said, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. That's from God, right? Yeah, I wanted that. I don't think I'd ever heard, to my knowledge, that I remember, I had never heard that term before, being baptized with the Holy Ghost. My church didn't talk about it. But they talked about, the person that came talk to me in high school about being baptized in the Holy Ghost said something about tongues. I said, I've heard of that, because somebody had said something about that. But they never used the term baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't know who this is for tonight, but now I'm thoroughly Mennonite. You realize? 100%. 100% Mennonite. And they said, they showed me some scriptures, and I said, all right, I want that. I see it. It's in the Bible. I want that. It's just that simple. So they said, all right, we're going to lay hands on you, and there's going to be something come up out of your belly that it's not going to be English. Speak it out. And so sure enough, they laid hands on me. It's almost like the Bible's true. And so it started coming up, and I started speaking it out. Except when I started speaking it out, something welled up on the inside and got right up into here. Now I'm already speaking in tongues. But something else got welled up and stood right in here. And every time it started coming out, I started laughing. And I knew I had been to church, and I knew God wasn't happy. That's the way we were in church. God's mad. So I wanted the tongues, but I didn't want that laughing business. That's what we called it back then, that laughing business. People today call about that laughing business. And so, but it'd come out, and I'd start laughing. And I said, well, no, I don't want that. I just want the tongues. But every time I shut down the laughter, the tongues would stop. And so they would encourage me, no, don't shut that down, yield to that. Oh, I said, okay, how do I yield to the tongues without the joy? So I started yielding the tongues again. Here come that joy. Well, make a long story short, I just yielded to it and ended up as a Mennonite boy hanging on the doorknob trying to keep from falling on the floor. And they said to me that some of my, quote, friends that haven't seen them for a long time, said it would wear off. And I'm worse today than I was back then. It hasn't worn off. because I keep being interested. I keep being interested. I keep being. See, it's one thing to be interested for a day. It's another thing to live interested. And when I heard about faith and walking by faith, I'm interested. When I heard about all the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, they gave me a book. Some of my teachers, underground teachers, they were underground feeding this revival. They gave me a book on Smith Wigglesworth. They gave me a book on Lester Summerall. And both of them talked about the gifts of the Spirit and walking by faith. And I distinctly remember feeding on those and saying, I never had, something's changing in my life. Never had, something's happening in my life. And I kept getting interested and interested. And that interest got so strong, it took me across the hills of Pennsylvania in a 1981 Toyota, a powder blue Toyota Celica, all alone, with $500 in my pocket and all my earthly belongings in the hatchback. No support, except for Emily Mahaffey came, and finally my brother came over and said, you get in that vehicle and you get across those mountains of Pennsylvania, don't you look back. And I haven't looked back. I've gone to visit, but my attention's not back there. I'm not crying about what I left. Because I keep being interested. I keep being interested. I keep being interested. Hallelujah. And I got to Bible school, and it got me over the hills of Pennsylvania. I got to Bible school, and I saw Brother Hagin. He'd teach the word, and then he'd flow in the power of God. I'm interested. I'm interested. I want to know more about that. Met another young lady who was interested in me. No, I'm kidding. Just interested in me. No, she came for God. She came for God, not me. She found me because that was God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got connected with Dr. and Pastor Nancy. Started learning some more. Oh, I'm interested. I'm interested. Praise God. That's the difference between our lives and some other people's lives. They're not interested. Are you out there? Hallelujah. When God saw he was interested, he called. Notice here in Exodus, when God saw he was interested, when God saw he was interested enough to see, he's tending sheep. He's interested enough to set aside the natural duties of life for a time here. Amen. In order to leave for, not God doesn't want you to leave all the natural. You got a natural life too, you understand. But he saw he was interested enough to turn aside in the sense, from the natural, in other words, natural duties in the sense of putting them in their right place, second after supernatural. He was interested enough to turn aside from those natural things and draw near and find out more about this. That's when God called. You out there? And because he sought to know more, God picked him to be used in this same power to minister to others. God didn't pick him because he's qualified, or because, let's put it this way, because he was skilled. Do you know what I mean by that? Because what I'm trying to say is because he was capable. He didn't pick him because he could. Remember Moses stuttered? Can you imagine standing in front of Pharaoh? Let my people go. It ain't going to work. He's not qualified. He's not capable of being a mighty deliverer, a statesman in Pharaoh's court, declaring the word of God to him. He's not capable. But he didn't pick him because he's capable. He picked him because he's interested. And he fixed the incapacities that he had. Hallelujah. He filled him up and made him able. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the same way. Now we know why we're all here. Not because we're capable, but because we're interested. Woo, glory be to God. His interest was strong enough to where he said, I'm going to turn away. I'm going to learn more about this. Hallelujah. What that did was, him turning away and drawing near to learn more, it gave God permission. Are you out there? To begin to train him in the supernatural. Remember? He said, how am I going to do this? He said, throw your rod down. And he did, and it turned into a snake. Remember? Now pick it up. It became a rod. Put your hand in your clothes here. Pull it out. It's leprous. Put it back in. It's healed. Remember, that's signs. He's saying, that's how you do it. You put your hand in there and it comes. And that, see, that doesn't mean it's going to work that way for you. But he trained Moses in some things of the supernatural. Because he, only for one reason, he's interested. Are you interested? God's a very supernatural God. How about prospering the supernatural way? Are you interested? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And so when God saw he was interested, and he turned aside, he gave him permission to begin to train him in the supernatural. And he trained him to the point he got real skillful in it. Skillfulness is because of you keep being interested. Interested enough to go back over it again, go back over it again. Hallelujah. But we see too many people who... They can just come through and they're not interested in. They are willing to come through and grab a healing or grab a supernatural, something supernatural, because they want relief. But they're not interested enough to find out how to live victorious. Just as long as I get a little relief here. And they go back to places. See, you're here. I'm not talking about you. But they go back to places where the supernatural is not honored. Yes. Yes. And it's not happening there. And I guess maybe some of them wonder why am I not keeping it or why is it not still happening? Yes. Oh, they're having another meeting over there at Spirit of Faith. I guess I'll go back there. The reason it stops is because they go to places where the people aren't interested. And the supernatural is not honored. You can have this as a life, not just an event to get relief. Somebody's getting help somewhere. This can be a life of the supernatural, every area of life, and not just one burning bush, continuous supernatural life. Hallelujah. Now here's something else. Whenever Moses saw that burning bush, that was an invitation, really. It was an invitation to come into the supernatural. And it was also God showing Moses his future. I was thinking about this afternoon. When the Lord, when Brother Hagin got interested in healing, on his deathbed at 16, 17 years old, he got interested. He really wanted to know how to get healed. He was interested, and he sought God, and God showed him. Mark 11, 20, 24. He finally understood it and acted on it, and within a few minutes, he's up healed. Somebody said, God just wanted to heal Brother Hagin. Well, sure he did. That's God's will. But he wasn't just showing him how to get healed himself. He's showing him his future. Go teach my people faith. I've taught you faith through my word. Are you still here tonight?
Yes, sir.
And through certain experiences I've allowed you to go through. Now go teach my people what I've taught you. Oh, it wasn't just a healing. It was a calling. It was a calling to the supernatural. It was a calling to help people walk by faith that they could experience the supernatural. Huh? How about you?
Come on. Yeah.
Well, I'm not called to the healing ministry. Well, you really are. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that have the healing ministry. No, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. Mm-hmm. I said, Well, I'm not called to the ministry, but you're called to the ministry of reconciliation, and that's part of it. Yeah, but I'm just in the helps ministry. Okay, are you interested in learning how to do that with a pleasing heart?
Amen.
What books do you keep reading about helps ministry?
Come on.
Are you interested?
Yeah.
In serving acceptably?
Yeah.
Well, that's for you to answer. I'm not here to answer that tonight. Hallelujah. God was showing Moses his future. When he got interested in the supernatural, God said, I got a plan for you way beyond natural. Moses is one of the best known, well-known names in the world today. I think Jesus or Abraham, maybe both of them are above him or somewhere up there. But if you say the name Butch Cassidy, there's a certain amount of people that know that name. You say the name Moses or Jesus or Abraham, these people of the supernatural, more people know that name than the other name. Why? Because God said, I got more for you than just a natural life. And they said, I'm interested.
Amen.
Jesus, Moses, Abraham. Huh? Are you interested? So when God shows you a burning bush, i.e. Spirit of Faith Family Church, and says, I have something for you over there, and you come over here and pow, your crippled leg straightens out. God's blessing you because he loves you. It's his will for you to be healed, but he's got a plan way, way beyond just your leg being healed. When you experience the supernatural and you go, how did that work? I want to know more. Yeah. Can I get it to work all the time?
Yeah.
What about the next time I'm attacked with sickness?
Amen.
And you show up again because you want to know more about that.
Amen.
God will say, okay, now I'm taking you on.
Yeah.
I'm taking you on.
Hallelujah.
And I want you to know there's something in your future that I'm going to use you in the supernatural.
Yes.
I want you to help bring in the harvest.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you'll never know what God has in mind unless you have enough interest to turn aside. You know what I mean by that? And to let God, give God permission to show you how the supernatural works. Amen. God didn't say, hey, Moses, look over here. Isn't that right? He didn't say anything until he got interested and moved towards it. Hallelujah. So what we see is, and I believe this, I believe God presents every person on the planet an opportunity for the supernatural to be a part of their life by something that gets their attention. Either a person that says something or a supernatural, an accident that should have happened and didn't. I mean, something, what moved that car out of the way?
Yeah.
Huh? He gives. I believe God gives every person an opportunity to an invitation, you might say, to come over into the supernatural. But some people experience it and just go, huh, and keep on with their life. That wasn't me. When somebody said something about the supernatural, I said, yeah, I want that. And that's the way I've been ever since. That little difference right there can mean the difference between following God's plan for your life or having your own mediocre life that's just not worth it. It wasn't that valuable to the kingdom. Are you still out there? I believe God gives everyone an opportunity, but he waits for people to respond. By responding, they really are initiating God to move further. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to be too busy with natural things that spiritual things aren't seen, first of all, and aren't that I'm not that interested because, I got things I got to do. Well, then God will say, I can't take you on into the supernatural, which I would help you do all those things. You wouldn't be on your own. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if you're called to the fivefold ministry, not everybody is, we understand that, but if you're called to the fivefold ministry, that's your job. Remember Acts 6:4? It says, because they were getting busy serving tables, and they said, let's get some other people to do this. We will give ourselves to the word and prayer. As a minister, it's your job to give yourself to spiritual things. Amen. And you're going to have to more and more go towards that. Amen. So, specifically, as you start out, it's just going to be the things of the Spirit in general. But then He's going to tailor what He's called you to and start speaking to you more specifically, and He'll narrow your path. And it won't just be, okay, I'm called to teach and preach or minister the Word. Now I'm called to either pastor or be an evangelist or something. And He'll narrow it down. And then you'll have to get interested in the specifics of that particular call. Amen. I feed my spirit a lot on the supernatural. I feed on the ways that God uses me. I love studying Word of Knowledge. I don't mean just study, but feed on the Word. It just stirs something in me. And the different ways God, the different things. I love feeding on the Word concerning angels. Because the areas I feed it, I get to feeding on it, and it keeps me in that flow. Does that make sense? I end up ministering in that flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it says, talking about seeing we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. You remember that? So I believe one of the first major steps in order to begin to be tutored, you might say, in the supernatural, is lay some things aside. Moses did that. He had some duties he was taking care of, but whenever the supernatural presented itself, he put that on pause for a while. And he said, I'm going towards that to find out what this is all about. And when he did, God started training him. God started speaking to him about that call. And God started moving him in that direction. But it wasn't until he laid some things aside. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians 1:10 in the Amplified says, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that can fill your life that seem so needful, but they're not vital to really what God's called you to. You understand? Things that just take up time, that hold you in the natural, and keep your attention off of what's vital to you being used supernaturally, or you fulfilling God's plan. There's something that's vital. And the more you go with God, walk with God, the more you're going to have to lay this aside, lay that aside, because that's needful, but it's not vital. You know, natural things are, there's needed things in our natural lives. But it's just something in order that, in other words, needful but not vital. I don't know how to say it better than that. This verse said, no, he wants us to know what is vital. This is Philippians 1:10 in the Amplified, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value. Amen? I don't know what it is for you, but whatever he's saying, I need you to turn aside. I need you to turn away, turn aside from this or that, because it's not helping you with what's really vital. Amen? There's a story. There's a few people that the Lord showed me when I was thinking about some of these things. In fact, go to this. Go over to Luke chapter number 8. Hallelujah. I don't want to just live a natural life. Go to work. Come home. Eat dinner. Answer emails. Look at the news. Go to bed. There's something much higher. There's a much higher flow for our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Luke 8 tells us a story. Well, actually, it doesn't tell us the story. In fact, the Bible really doesn't tell us the story, but it tells us of what had happened here. This is Luke 8. We'll just read verse number 2. This is talking about Jesus preaching from village to village, from verses 1 and 2. And he said, certain women which had been healed Well, in verse number one, it says, and the 12 followed him. Verse 2 says, Luke 8:2, certain women, in other words, these women were following him, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And he mentions one, Mary, or a couple of them, but in this verse, one, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Mentions Johanna and so forth, Herod and Susanna. But this woman, it mentions this twice in the New Testament. I don't remember where the other reference is, but it mentions Mary Magdalene. Most Bible scholars believe Magdalene is a reference to Magdala, I believe is the city, fishing village, that's where she was from. But it mentions her. And if you read the Bible, read the New Testament closely, especially the Gospels, and then the book of Acts there at the beginning, you'll find she was always in that inner circle. She's a very close disciple. And here it mentions her and some of these others traveling with Jesus everywhere he went. Praise the Lord. And I wanted you to see that somewhere along the line, it doesn't say, we don't have the story in the New Testament, but it tells us that it happened that seven devils went out of her. Whenever she encountered Jesus' ministry, she was delivered from seven different demons. Okay, I wanted you to see that. Now go to that's in the eighth chapter. Go over to chapter number 10 and verse 38. This is in Luke 10. Say Luke 10 is after Luke 8. It's Revelation, isn't it? After she was delivered of these seven devils. We don't know where, but in Luke 8 it says it happened. After that, we're in Luke 10 now, in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. This is the same Mary. There's a couple of people named Mary in the New Testament, or in the Gospels. And you don't always know which one it is, but this tells you this one wasn't Mary, mother of Jesus, because it said she had a sister named Martha. This is the sisters of Lazarus who was raised from the dead. You remember that's another Mary, and this is actually Mary Magdalene. Now it says Jesus comes to their town. He comes into the house. He's teaching. Martha's busy serving, but notice what Mary's doing. She's sitting. Sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered, said unto her, Martha, Martha. When your name is called twice, you know you're in trouble. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One translation says she's not to be dragged away from it. Oh, my, 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 my. Don't you ever interrupt your spouse going in the presence of God and praying. You let them right there. I'll tell you, you'll get a new and improved spouse. I'll guarantee you that.
Amen.
Amen. But I want you to see this. Mary had been delivered by the power of Jesus from seven devils. She was interested. She wanted to know this one that did it. She wanted to know how that happened. She wanted to know how that works. She wanted to know about the supernatural. She wanted to know about the kingdom of God. She wanted to know about Jesus. Amen. She knew it enough. She wanted it enough to turn away from natural duties. Come on now. I said, come on now. She was interested to know more about what she had experienced. She wanted to know more about that power. She wanted to know more about the person. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Go to the 13th chapter of Matthew. Jesus is telling parables, one after the other. The 13th chapter is full of parables, Matthew 13. He told the parable of the sower, and Matthew 13 tells the parable of the sower, starts around verse three, I guess. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. He told the parable. And verse 10, the disciples came and said unto him, in verse 10, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. And then he said, he explained why he spoke in parables in verse number 12 and 13. And then he said some things about Israel. Their heart was waxed thick and so forth. And then he said in verse number, he said, their eyes are blind. And then verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see, and have not seen them, and hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And he explained it. He explained it. Now, why did he explain it to them and not to the others that he had told in the crowd? They were interested. How do you know? They came and they said, that parable you told? Tell us more about that. Amen. In other words, don't be a person that after church is over, you just, okay, you're out the door. Fellowship with the people of God. Whoa, did you hear what the word said tonight? Oh, my, oh man, God showed me this and that. And be interested.
Amen.
I said, be interested. People that are interested get more. That's what these guys got. They got more. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Unto you it is given. How about you? He said, unto you it's given to them. But how about you? I'm asking you. Somebody said, well, I don't know. God doesn't explain much to me. Are you interested enough to beseech him? Ask him. And then go to church where the word's being explained. Hallelujah. You'll get more. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened. Ask and you'll receive. That's because they're interested. Now, there's sometimes you got to be at certain places when things are moving in order to get more, to learn more. You know, it was important for Elisha to be with Elisha. Let me say it right. For Elisha to be with Elijah when Elijah went to heaven. You couldn't get it sitting over at the school of the prophets. There was a whole group of people sitting over there at the school of the prophets. He had to be where the supernatural was moving. Amen. Why was he there? He's interested. The prophet kept saying, no, I'm going over to another town. You stay here. He said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. He's interested. He's got his faith on something. He's not going to quit until he gets it. Hallelujah. And he got more than everybody else. Woo! Hallelujah. Elijah was a burning bush. Hallelujah. When you find places where spiritual things are valued and moving, it matters that you're there. It matters that you're there. Hallelujah. Dr. Summerall said, every move of God on the earth, when he was alive down here on the earth, every move of God, he said, I was a part of it. You know why? He's interested. He said, whenever the faith teaching started, he said, I don't know if I believe all that. But he started seeing the supernatural. He said, oh, wait a minute. He started seeing signs all around that message. He got in on it. He's one of the best faith preachers there was. He's interested. Even though his Pentecostal mind didn't quite understand it. Amen. Well, people say, I don't understand. Well, of course, you're not interested enough to understand. Get where it's being explained. Get where it's operating. Get where, and watch others who know what they're doing. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. Now's the time to do it. I mean, don't wait. Well, you know, I got some things to take care of. The devil will pop something up. There'll always be some excuse. I don't know who I'm helping tonight. I'm helping somebody. There'll always be some reason. Well, I can't go because of this. I can't go because of that. Well, the devil will make sure that's there for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. You got to turn aside from the wheelbar that got in your way, from the house build. You got to turn aside from the job. You got to turn aside and say, I'm going for what I know belongs to me in God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whenever we have guest speakers, I don't greet the congregation. Why? They don't have what I'm after that week. Amen. My guest speaker goes back there. I say, good to see y'all. We'll see you next service. Amen. Because I don't get to be around you every day, all day. And whenever you're a burning bush, when I got a burning bush here, I'm interested. I'm interested. And I'll keep them there all night until they say, well, I got to go get some rest. And I say, okay, I'll see you tomorrow night. In other words, I don't dismiss them by saying, man, I'm tired. I got to go home. And they're back there talking about the things of God. I don't dismiss them. They dismiss me by saying, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. That's why we get more. I'll spend money to go to people's meetings. Some of you, God wants to use you more in helps ministry, but you don't spend money to get to some of the meetings that God wants you to go to. Ooh, ooh. Oh, I'm trying to swallow that one, Pastor. Hallelujah. When the anointing's moving, be there. When the bush is burning, go see it. Go learn. Turn aside. Hallelujah. Sometimes people want to turn aside later. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. The devil will always keep something there. Yeah, but I don't have the money. We haven't done anything in our life we had the money for. We don't serve money. It serves us. We say, we're going there. You come with us. You show up to get us there. It's always there. It's always there. It's always there. It's always there. I feel like Dr. Dufresne tonight. It's always there. You just got to tell money what to do rather than ask it for permission to do something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I got it saved up. Take it out of savings. The bush isn't going to burn all the time. You got to get to where the bush is. Hallelujah. And you got to be more interested in spiritual things than earthly things. And heavenly things need to appeal to you to the point to where you turn aside from natural things. Hallelujah. Pastor Nancy told the story about the 10 lepers in a way I had never seen it before. In Luke chapter number 9, remember 10 were healed. And one, when he saw he was healed, with a loud voice turned back and glorified God and came back and worshiped the Lord. He was turning back to worship, but he's turning back because he's interested in knowing more. What was that that healed me? Who was that? Who is he? Amen. I want to know more. I want to find out about that power. Amen. I got something from that man. I want to know that man more. Amen. I want to go back to where he showed himself strong to me. I've been going back to a lot of experiences in my life. And like, Lord, you did this and did that. Talk to me about what that was. Why you did that. How I got into that. How that door opened for the favor that you brought into my life. I'm not just going through life experiencing it anymore. I'm learning from all these things. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Jesus saw the one come back, he said, where are the 9? In other words, he was looking. Isn't that right? He was looking for the ones who his eyes were looking to see who was really hungry for what they just experienced. Am I all right? Am I preaching all right? He was looking and noticing who turned back. Who lingered longer? Who wanted to hear it more? Who wanted to learn more about it? He's looking for that. He's looking who that is. You know why? because he has more for them. Some people want to snatch a healing and run. But the ones that get healed, and I want to know more about it. He says, I got more for you. I got more for you. That was only one experience. I got a lifetime of the supernatural. A lifetime of the supernatural. Just for you. Amen. So Jesus said, where are the nine? You know, it's proper for me as the pastor, for people that that come through and don't stay when they get a healing and so forth. It's proper for me to ask, hey, where are you? You should be here. That's not being mean. It's just simply saying, where you encountered the power of God, that's where you need to be interested. That you ought to have some interest towards that. Amen. Hallelujah. You got your marriage fixed up. You got your finances fixed up and so forth. And then you just kind of get distracted. It's proper for the pastor to say, where have you been? Not out of meanness, but out of, we don't want you to go back to where you were. Don't encounter a burning bush and then go on disinterested, because you'll never have that. You can't maintain the supernatural without staying interested. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not being mean. It's just the reality of these things. Amen. So you shouldn't just want what the devil's doing in your life to stop. You know what I'm talking about? You should want a lifestyle of being free. You know what I mean by that? In other words, people run because they're hurting, and I just want this to stop, and then they get disinterested. Well, that opens the door for it to come back. Amen? Much of what we receive from God is the result of progression. One encounter. Isn't that our purpose? Bringing people into encounters with God. Isn't that right? Teaching them to always be victorious through the spirit of faith. One encounter is only an introduction of all the lifestyle of the supernatural God has for you. It's God saying, this is an invitation for you. I got a supernatural life for you. But many of the things God wants to do in our life are the result of us progressing through into more with Him as He takes us into it. It's a progression. And they say that man in Luke chapter number 9, it says he turned back the leper that was healed. He turned back and glorified God. And then it says, Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. That word whole is different than healed. He apparently had what was eaten off by leprosy put back. He got more. He got more. In other words, it was a progressive thing. One stopped the destruction. The other put back what was taken away. I don't want just what the devil's doing right now to stop. I want everything he's done over my heart, everything he's stolen from me, all put back. But I'm going to have to stay interested and keep on progressing and learn how to walk in the way God puts all those things back. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? Hallelujah. 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 The people God has used in my life, Pastor Debbie and I are both this way, the people God has used in our life to bring us into the supernatural, they are honored for the rest of our lives. And we feed on their ministries, we feed on their recordings. You'll never hear us speak a bad word against them. Some of them we're not as connected with today still. I mean, an everyday ministry and so forth. But you'll never hear us speak a bad word about them. You'll never hear us say anything against them. You'll hear us say they blessed our lives. And we bless them from time to time, depending on different situations. Amen. And because God used them. It's proper for you and I to recognize those that God used in our life. So we got something we didn't get anywhere else. Nobody down at the grocery store had it for us. Nobody at the mall had it for us. Nobody at the university had it for us. But they had it for us. Amen. That one man turned back to where he got something. The leper turned back to where he got something supernatural. And he properly recognized and worshiped. and recognize where that came from. Amen. That's proper. I said that's proper. Amen to honor where people God used people in your life. Hallelujah. I know all sorts of reasons people get separated. Because they get persecuted by family. I know the devil plays. He pulls all the every tool out of his trick bag to try to keep people from pursuing after the supernatural. But Pastor Debbie and I have proven that if you'll persevere through all of that, everything you think you're losing, God will restore it and multiply it. All the people that friends and family that you think you're losing, God will bring them all back, multiply them, and you'll have a better life than you ever dreamed. But the devil won't tell you that right now. He'll tell you this price is too high. And he'll bid high and say, you can't pay that price. But it's a lie. I said, it's a lie. Hallelujah. 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 Stand with me to your feet.